So continuing this Pehama Bez, the Bai Rava, of whether you omed it all at once or you omed it one by one. Okay, so the question was, the way Tosis defines it, Tosis of Nehi, the question is, when the guy cuts off his hand on Sunday, the foot on Monday, and then makes him deaf on Tuesday, right? So do you define it? Do you look at it, do you look at it as if, evaluate as if it all happened at once, and you evaluate it all together? Or no, since they were not simultaneous, in fact, they were on separate days, you value each incident on its own. And the Nafkamina Tosa says is it's not going to come out to be the same amount when you evaluate it all together. It will come out to be cheaper than if you evaluate them each separately. Okay? So we're saying, what is, according to Tosos, what is Rava's Ibaya? What is his Bai? What's his chiluk? What's his question? So saying on the first step, the two ways to look at it is that in terms of the Mais and Nezek, they're really separate Mais and Nezek. Sunday, you cut off his leg. Monday, you cut off his foot. And Tuesday, you made him deaf. Those are three separate Maisa Hezek. Okay, on the other hand, there is a framework that can be Mitzarif them all. Because these are all, being Adam L'Chavero, there's all one person attacking one other guy. Okay, and those attacks are not really three separate attacks. They fall under a pattern of abuse of Reuven abusing Shimon, right? Clearly Reuven's got a problem with Shimon here. They're not getting along and he's really attacking him. He's terrorizing him and he's doing something to him on Sunday and on Monday and on Tuesday. And there's a framework in which you can evaluate it, which is the underlying relationship between these two people that these attacks are occurring within. They're not just isolated attacks in a vacuum, but these attacks are occurring within the context of a relationship between these two people. And in that framework, that's mitzari for them to look at them as, what did he do to him? He cut off his hand, his leg, and he made him deaf, right? So that's like he did all three to them. And there's a combination of all three of what Reuven did to Shimon. Now it's true, he didn't do it to them simultaneously, but there is a framework to be mitzari for them, ben adam l'chaver. Okay. Now Zev is asking, but why? But bottom line is, if you had done them all at once, right, you would have had the tzar and the boshes would have been small. But now that you do it separately, so the tzar really should be three separate things, right? That's your question. Tzar and the boshes should be separate. Yes, so I think this, the answer is that no. I mean, that the argument of the tzirif is that his tzar and his boshes really is less because they are not three separate attacks. Okay? If Reuven cuts off Shimon's foot on Sunday, then Levi cuts off Shimon's hand on Monday. And Yehuda makes him deaf for Shimon, right? So in Hanami, then there's going to be a lot of tzar. Each one is going to have full tzar and boshes, okay? But the fact that it's all one person, so psychologically, physically, okay, well, let's deal with it first on the psych, the easier way. I think they're both psychological, but the boshes is clearly psychological. It's a different thing when it's one person. So basically, one person embarrassed you. How did one person embarrass you? They cut off your hand, your foot, and made you deaf. That is not as embarrassing as if it was three separate incidences. Each time, the first time is always the most. You know what I mean? But each time adds to the prior times in a series of attacks. So, yes, it's bad. You're being terrorized and tortured, but it's going to come out to be less boshes than if it was three separate incidences. Because in a certain sense, the most boshes is just the first time going from nothing at all, you're perfectly good thing. The person's humiliating you by attacking you, right? That's like the worst in the sense of the first. Now, the second time is bad and it adds to it, but it's adding. It's a hosafa. Not only did he cut off your hand, he cut off your foot. Now he cut off your foot, he also cut maybe down. Okay, so those are all add to the boshes, but psychologically, since there's a mitzari, a person psychologically views these three things together, as if they really were one series of attacks, even though they occurred across different days, in the context of the boshes and the framework of the relationship, there's an idea of a tzar, mitzar. Okay. I'd say the same thing with tzar. Okay. How is the tzar less? So if you recall, the way you evaluate tzar is a person who's the king said to him, basically, your hand is going to be cut off on Sunday, your foot's going to be cut off on Monday, and then you become deaf on Tuesday. That's going to happen. right? How much money would you pay to get a an anesthetic for that, so you don't suffer from all those three things, right? That would be the question, right? That's the way you do it, right? How much would you pay? Yeah, how much would you pay so that you don't have to feel the pain? Okay, so now if I ask a guy, your hand's gonna be cut off, how much are you gonna pay? I don't know. He's gonna pay $1,000. Then you ask a different guy, different time, how your foot, also $1,000. Deaf, same thing, $1,000. Okay, but now you go to a guy, your hand, foot, and whatever's gonna be chopped off. Okay, how much are you gonna pay in the different days, 3 days in a row? We're gonna just do 3 days in a row. You can either suffer the pain for these things or not suffer the pain for these things. So he's going to come up with a different answer. He's going to say, for all those three things that I wanted, how much am I willing to pay? I'll pay $2,000, $2,500. He's not going to give you the same number because in his mind, he's evaluating all three together. Even though they're happening on three separate days, you're asking him that question. You can either suffer the pain for all three of these things, or you can avoid the pain for all three of these things on three separate days. But he's being asked to do an omid to evaluate how much would he pay to evaluate these things. So since he's being asked all at once, he evaluates them all at once, okay, and it comes out less. Same thing, presumably the doctor bills, is we ask the doctor, guy, we have to heal a guy who lost his foot, how much are you gonna charge him? Separate thing, a guy lost his hand, how much are you gonna charge him? Guy's deaf, say, how much are you gonna charge him? That's gonna give three separate bills. And I say, look, I got a patient who lost all three, how much are you charging? He'll give you a discount. I'll give you a discount if you give him all three at once, he'll give you a discount because you're giving him all three things, okay? So it comes out if when you do the omate, but you evaluate it all as one thing, so then you're gonna, it will come out less in terms of the tsar, the boshes, and the ripoy. It really will come out less. But if you evaluate them separately, and they did occur separately, in terms of the maisa hezek, they really occurred separately. And there is a framework for viewing it as three separate maisa hezek. Each one is mechayev and boshes and tsar from the atzma. Okay? But there's also a framework for evaluating it at beinatan lechavero, in which case there's a series of attacks, and I should do my omade as one. Because there is a mitzari for the Bein Adam Chavera relationship between the two people. And if I just evaluate it as a series of attacks, then it'll come out cheaper. Okay, so there's two frameworks of doing the evaluation. And you get different numbers, and that's Rava's Hakira. Which way do I view it? Okay. So just in terms of the methodology here, the Ibayas, I think in just in general, some of the hardest things to define in the Gemara are these Ibayas. Ibayas end up with tekus. They're very difficult. They're very difficult, especially when you have a string of them. Okay? And we don't really have that here. We just have one. All right, even Imtun Salomar, which is kind of like that, but not quite. But they're very hard to define. But I'm just taking the first step is just to see both sides. Okay? I'm not really explaining the motivation why you would look at it one way or the other at this point. And that's a little bit harder. It's going to be a little bit more speculative to try to say, why would I say one side or the other? The key point, and I think the most important thing that you have to define, is the two frameworks of looking at it. Okay, not necessarily the motivation behind it. Okay, but there is a framework of looking at it as their separate Maisa Hezek, and they occurred Zach or Zach. This was not one big beatdown. Okay, where you put him on the floor, you cut off his foot, cut off his hand, made him deaf. All simultaneously. You didn't do it all together. Bivas achas. You did it. It was done. Zachar zeh. The guy went home and went to sleep in between. Okay? So there really were separate attacks. The only thing is, there is also a framework of looking at it. It's true there was like separate mysim of attacks, but the three attacks can be grouped together as a series of attacks. You know what I mean? It's like three battles. Three battles, but there's a war going on. You gotta realize there is a war between these two people. So there were three separate attacks, but it's in the context of a bigger war. And there's the mitzarif of these are the same parties fighting with each other. And one guy keeps doing this to the other guy. And there's a framework of looking at it all together. And therefore, since there's a mitzarif in Bein Adam Lechavero, and that's what Chovel is all about. So there's a framework of evaluating them all together. Okay. Evaluating them all together is not saying that I really imagine that they were done together, right? It's Tosfos I know does say, I don't think it means I have to pretend that it really was literally simultaneously. It just means that it's equivalent. I'm going to evaluate them as one entity, as one group, one group of things where they're mitzurif together, not separate disparate attacks, but I'm going to be mitzurif them together. Okay, it doesn't really, it's not bevas achas. I don't have to view it as simultaneously. It just means, like, that's the thing. If you look at Tosis, if you want to make a big, I'm not making a big deal this lashon, but he doesn't say kilu. Usually the two cases, b'zeachar zeh and bevas achas, are in Gemaras. Those are contrasted. Bevas achas means simultaneously, zeachar zeh means chronologically separate. But over here, Tosis, one case is, since the chavos happen zeachar zeh, therefore we should write them separately. The other side is not that they happen bevas achas. He says, kilu asa kol bepam achas. Like one time, not vivas, not simultaneously. It's just I view this as like one series of attacks. It's not simultaneous. You know, that's impossible. It's not, they weren't simultaneous. But pamachas means that this was basically Reuven attacked Shimon. Right? Reuven has a series of attacks against Shimon, and I do not look at them as three completely separate things. And therefore, I'll evaluate them as one series of attacks. And when I do that as one series of attacks, I end up with a lower number than if I look them as completely separate attacks, no relationship to each other whatsoever. I'll end up with a different number. Okay, it'll be lower if I look at them as one than if I look at them separately. And yet, look, the Jews realize there are these two frameworks. Really, they were separate Maaseh Hazek. They really were completely separate. Zachar Zeh, totally separate from each other in terms of Maaseh Chavala. But there is this underlying framework between Reuven and Shimon that could be mitzarif them and allows me to look at them as one. Okay, the next step I'll take is why you view one over the other, you know, but the most important thing is really just to see the two different frameworks. Okay, so Zev's asking is the boshes he can hear that maybe makes a difference. But by tsar, how does it make a difference? How is it possible? How's the pain care? If they happen Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, completely separate, right? So it's really three separate incidences of pain, tsar. How could it make a difference, right? So it's a relic of the omen, right? You're saying it's just like it's like a bad omen. Fact that you're saying when you view them all together, you do the evaluation all together, you end up with a lower number. That's just a poor omen. Okay. You got to realize that pain, first of all, pain, physical pain is psychological. How much of brain and how a person tolerates pain, a psychological phenomenon. That's the first thing to realize. Okay. It's not, right, like we saw, it's a koli, the person's a unag or a rach or a kasha, right? Different people have different pain tolerances. You see, there is a psychological element to the whole thing. Okay, you can say that's a physical nerves, but whatever. The second thing is like this, is that what is pain worth? Pain has no monetary value intrinsically. We have to convert pain into a monetary phenomenon through this omid. Okay, and that's just, okay. Now the reality is people will give you a different number when you tell them you're going to get all three of these things. How much are you going to pay in order to get out of these three things? And the fact that they're separated by days, okay, it's true, maybe that affects their omid, but it doesn't make it that it's identical than if I were to ask him on three separate, two completely separate omids, ask you how much you're going to pay for the hand thing. You give me one number, then a separate time I ask you about the foot thing, you give me a different number for the foot, and then the cherish, you give me another number, and I add them all up. I'm going to end up with a higher number than if I ask you those all three of those things together. So the point is, if I look at it like he really did all proven attack Shimon, and he did these three things to Shimon, and I say the reality is he did a series of attacks. Then you should do an omid by how much would you pay to get out of the tsar of those three things that he did to you. And you value b'pamachas and you end up with a smaller number. Okay. It's not a bad omid. It's just the fact is people will give you, because you're giving them all three, they're just going to end up giving you another, because in their mind, they look at, there's going to be a lot of pain from all these three things. How much am I willing to pay to get out of that? But like in their mind, they're mitzari for them because you're asking them all together. The way you ask the question will affect the omid. And the omid is the method of converting the chiyuv tsar into a monetary phenomenon. And if it really is omid b'pamachas and omid kol b'yachad, you'll end up with a different number than if you're evaluating it zachar as three separate things. And the omid is, you know, the omid is the reality, is converting the chiyuv tsar into money. It matters. And how you do the omid will end up with a different answer. Okay, so again, I think the main thing is really to appreciate there's two frameworks of looking at it. Okay, looking at separate Maaseh Hezek, Maaseh Chavalas, which they were, separate Maaseh Chavalas, but also appreciating that these Chavalas occurred within a context that's mitzarif them. This is Reuven going to Shimon over and over and hitting him and abusing him. Okay, and in that framework, they're just not separate. That Mondays was built upon Sunday and Tuesdays built upon Sunday and Monday, and they add together, and each one is not really, doesn't exist in a vacuum. They exist in the context of relationship. And there's a way of viewing it as three three, a series of attacks. There's also a way of viewing it as you could have viewed each maisa separately and independent of the other, but you could also view them together. Okay, two different frameworks. Okay, yeah.
How was the chadachad?
Yeah, the chadachad framework. Why is that a framework? Yeah, it's a good question. Why is that a framework? I mean, it's a framework of viewing each attack as its own separate maisa chavala, which is mechayev and boshet and sar its own, and like almost not looking at the context. It's, you know, it is a framework in the sense of I want to analyze the activity in its own right and not take a view to the broader context in which it occurs. I'm just going to look at the maisa as like the what's mechayev and sar and boshet is the independent each maisa chavala. And I'm just going to say I evaluate each one on its own, since that's the mechayev, and I'm not going to view the context in which it exists in order to mitzayach them all together. Okay. I mean, it's like a local framework. You know what I mean? Do you look at each thing on a local level, or do you look at the broader context in which they all occur, and that's going to mitzayach them? The broader context is the relationship between Reuven and Shimon. Or do you say, look, the real mechayev is the ma'aseh chavalah, and I'm going to view that in its own right? Okay. Let me just say, so what do you say? So I want to say like this, is that there, according to Rav's first Ibaya, the first way, not the Intim Tzolomar. Hopefully we get to that today. But according to Rav's first way of looking at things is, okay, there's two legitimate ways of looking at it. There's two frameworks of analyzing it, okay? In a certain sense, it's a teku. He doesn't have a resolution. But what would be the argument of viewing it all as one and ending up, what's the difference really? Okay, what's the difference between the two? How you view it? Okay, so assuming they're both legitimate ways of viewing it, so how's the Torah choose? How do you choose? So one way to argue is you choose because go with the lower amount because we're mekal namazik, right? That's the gzeiros hakasuv here, and we always try to be mekal namazik in tashlumin, right? Just like by an eved, when you cut off his hand, you don't evaluate how much is the hand of an eved worth, rather you evaluate the eved as a whole with the hand without a hand, which ends up being a smaller amount than just the hand alone. Right, and that's the Xeris Akasav that we saw the Russian Os Aleph maybe brought down. Right, they're always that the Xeris Akasav from Bir Bistayach, yeah? They want to be making on the Mazik. So, if there's two frameworks of looking at it, they're both just, they're both frameworks of compensating the Nizak, you know. So, there's an argument that maybe the Torah wants to be make on the Mazik, and therefore you should go with that side, right? Okay, I'm speculating here a little bit. This by trying to go a little bit further, I think really you basically the you define both frameworks, and the question is which one does the Torah choose, and that's it. That's the Ibaya, and I don't know. Take them, right? I mean, we don't know, but I'm just trying to go a little bit further and try to go why you would say one or the other. I think the simplest way to say is why you choose the framework of Kulam Bavas Achas when they're both available is because you want to be make on the Mazik. It is a legitimate way to view the thing, and you want to be make on the Mazik, so choose the lower framework. Okay, so why wouldn't you do that over here? Okay, right? Why wouldn't you? So I think if you, it's like there's something distasteful about it in general, being make on the mazik, right? I understand that. We don't, why you want to be make on the mazik. We explained that the other time, you know, a couple months ago, the philosophy behind it. Even though, yes, he's a rush, he's not a good guy. But if you just, you run up the thing on the mazik, it's bad for society. You know what I mean? Like, look, you want me machmer the mazik, do ayin da gazayin, you know what I mean? But then everybody becomes blind. You know what I mean? If you want to run up the prices, you're going to bankrupt the person by anything that happens to go wrong. It just destroys society. You're too machmer namazik. It's just not a good idea. And that's why Torah in general is mekel namazik. In general. But maybe you say over here is that Torah didn't want to be mekel namazik over here because the very thing that will bring about the kula is the fact that there's like a pattern of abuse. Okay? That's not just like, that's like, it's more rishus. In the one sense, the fact that all three of them happened, when you evaluate them all as one, you come out with a cheaper payment. But on the other hand, there's like a greater evil that Reuven is doing to Shimon than just one person who randomly cuts off Shimon's foot. Another person happens to cut off his hand. Another person happens to cut off his ear. So those two, three people, yeah, they're all Rishon, they're bad people. That's not a good thing to do. But that's not as bad as one guy who does all three. And say one guy doing all three, it's like a bullying, systematic abuse, torturing the guy. It's like the fact that he's doing all three and you view this as a series of attacks makes the whole chavala bechaveru, like it's in terms of the iser chavala, it's worse. That's what I was looking for. In terms of the iser chavala, it's worse. Right? The iser chavala Ram brings down in Hilchos Sanhedrin, right? So in terms of the iser chavala, he's a greater rasha, the fact that he systematically abused him. And therefore, you say that in true, it's in general. When a guy's mazik bechaveru, when we have two frameworks of mishpat, we choose the more makel one. How do you evaluate the hand, a hand on its own or part of a body? Those are two frameworks of Mishpat. So I'll choose the more make one for the Mazik. That's Exer Sakasa. But not if the second framework is only available because of the greater Rishas of the Mazik. It's because of his greater Rishas. And he's like over the Isser of Chavala in a deeper way by systematically abusing the guy. That's what creates this new framework. Maybe you argue in that case the Torah is not going to be make on the Mazik. I mean, that's Rav's question here. There are these two frameworks to look at the whole thing, and they're both mishpat, and they're both legitimate. You're going to end up with a lower number. So do I say, look, that's exeris akasiv, always be makel on the mazik and teshlumen? Or do I say, since this framework is generated by the rishis itself, then the Torah doesn't say that. The Torah just says, look, if the mazik is a rush, I understand. But now if there are two, a separate question you have, unrelated to his rishis, of how to evaluate the hezek, evaluating the cheaper way for the mazik. That's fine. What if the second framework is only available because of his greater rishus? Is the Torah still going to say be make on the mazik and choose that framework of the systematic abuse and say, don't look at these things as three separate incidences? If they're three separate attacks unrelated to each other, that's going to be a very high number. But say, no, this wasn't three separate attacks. This was Reuven systematically abusing Shimon. This was really one pattern of abuse and evaluate them all together. That's the framework of being mitzarev them. Well, that framework, it's like a greater isser. It's a greater rishus. Are you going to be tofes that framework in order to be makel him vis-a-vis tashlumen, but you're basically evaluating him as the greater Rasha? Are we going to allow his greater rishus to bring about a lower level of tashlumen? Maybe yes, maybe no. That's the ibayah. But while it's interesting, it's you understand, it's more speculative, that last step. The last step is just something more speculative. And there are other reasons you possibly could give. Rava essentially is laying out two frameworks of mishpat, two frameworks that are legitimate frameworks of evaluating this. And he's saying, which one did the Torah choose? He has no gzeres akasav. He doesn't know how to choose. I'm just trying to go one step further. It's in the speculative way of trying to justify why you would do that, why you would do one over the other, based upon the general principles we've laid out of you want to be makel on the mazik. And then using that principle that we generally want to be makel, why aren't you makel on the mazik? What would be the argument not to over here? Why is this different than the general principle be makel on the mazik? But like it's speculative, there could be other reasons why the Torah halakha considerations, philosophical considerations, other reasons why you may want to choose one framework over the other. This is just like one way that I went. The basic thing you need to do here is really just understand the two frameworks. That essentially in terms of Chavala, the really separate Maisei Chavala, each one generates its own Chiyuv Tzar and Boshes. That's the primary force behind looking at each one as a separate incident, evaluating each one separately. Each one's a separate Mechayev of Tzar and Boshes and Ripoy. Or do you say that since it's been on the Chavera, there's a greater framework which encapsulates it all, and therefore, that allows me to look at it as really a series and a pattern and look at it all as one and evaluate them all together. That's the key idea. So let's move on to Intim Salomar. So it's saying, let's say you say that if you don't do the Omid, you definitely look at it as all of it together. Okay, we look at it as a pattern, a series of abuse. If I haven't done the Omid, okay. Let's say I did the Omid. On Sunday, he comes to me, Shimon comes to me, I do the Omid. Okay, your hand. Then Shimon comes on Monday, I do the foot, right? And then Tuesday he does the ear thing, right? So, but he hasn't paid yet. Reuven hasn't paid, okay? So will you say, look, you value each one alone and the evaluation's already been done? Or do you say, no, since you haven't paid yet, now let's view it all as one and make Reuven has to pay a smaller amount? Okay, so what's that question? So I think you could say like this, is just how much are we saying, assuming you do say, in Tintalomar, that you say that we're making on the mazik and we go with kulak achas, you view it as a series and a pattern of abuse, and therefore you value it all together and you look at it as one. You say that's really what's going on. Reuven has been attacking Shimon systematically, evaluate all together, and Reuven pays a smaller amount, okay? But let's say you've actually evaluated already separately, okay? He just hasn't paid. So is it just that, is it just that we said that when you have these two options, that you're making on the mazik and your tope is the second option, okay? But if I've actually done the evaluation the other way, and we've already paskin in this case, and we've evaluated the other framework, so then we're not going to reevaluate it based upon the kulak achas. There are two legitimate frameworks of evaluating it. They're both fine. Now, if I have to choose which one to do, because it came to me, the case came to me on Wednesday after this all happened, then I'll choose the more makel framework. I'll choose the kulak achas. But if I've already done one of them, then that takes priority. I've done it. I'm not going to reevaluate it according to the other one. It's just the fact that I'm really, that's a question. Rav is saying, are they both, even if you're going to tell me that when they both come before you, they're two completely legitimate frameworks, you have to choose one. Which one are you going to choose? Let's say you choose the more make on the framework. Let's just say for whatever reasons, the only make on the mazik, right? So fine. But if that's the case, then if I've already chosen the other framework, because it's already happened, it didn't come to me on Wednesday, it came to me on Sunday, and I did it. Monday and I did it, Tuesday and I did it, then I'm not going to reevaluate it because I've already chosen the other framework. That's Mahriya. The Mahriya is I've already done it. It's just that if I'm faced with both of them together, then I'll choose the framework of Kula Ka'achas Ba'adei Adavi. Right? That's one way. That's one side of the Intim Salomar. And then I'm not going to reevaluate. Or do you say that, no, I'm Intim Salomar, that Kula Ba'adei Adavi is because that's really the superior way of looking at it. That is the proper way of looking at it. Don't just look at it, don't have myopic vision and just look at each one independently and ignore the fact that there's a context of what's going on, okay? The reason why the Torah is choosing the framework of Kulei Ba'adei Adadi is not because you have two frameworks, you have to choose one, be make on the mazik. It's because the Torah is saying that's really what happened. You can't ignore the context, and the context is dictating to you that there's a better, a superior way to view it, okay? And so long as you haven't paid, then you reevaluate it and use the superior valuation, which will get you closer to the truth. And the closer to the truth is this was a pattern of abuse. This was not individual isolated incidences. And even if you evaluate it, reevaluate it, but reevaluate with the better framework. Okay. If he's already paid, I'm not going to tear it up and make him return the money because it's not a talus. You know what I'm saying? It's not a mistake. It's definitely not a complete error to view them as separate incidences. There is a framework of viewing it that way. You could just argue that it's inferior. It's an inferior way of viewing it because you're not taking into account the context. But it's not to the point where once he's paid, Rav never has a havmi like that. If you actually have evaluated separately and he's paid, Rav is not saying there's a real talus, it's a real mistake. Now that we see that all these things have happened, it was a mistake to do it. There is a framework of evaluating them separately. Definitely. There's definitely a framework like that. It's not a complete mistake. But do you say that that's a completely equal framework? Just if I have to choose, I'll choose the framework of Kulei Ba'adei Adadi. Or do you say, no, that's an inferior framework. And even if I evaluate, so long as he hasn't paid, the mazik has the right to be Tovea and Bezid and say, look, I don't want to pay that based on that original omid. Now that you see I've repeatedly abused this guy, reevaluate this and see there's a pattern of abuse here and you should evaluate Kulei Adadi and therefore be makel on the, give me the smaller payment. So that's Rava's Imtim Saloma. He's trying to understand. He has these two frameworks. And he's saying, even if you want to claim when they both come before you simultaneously, you might choose the Kula Ba'adei Adadi. Is it just because they're both equal, but you have to choose one, you're makel? Or is it because you're really holding Kula Ba'adei Adadi is the superior framework to the point where you actually will reevaluate it, even if you've done the other one yet? As long as he hasn't paid, because the other one's definitely not tough. The first question is saying, I have these two frameworks, okay? Which one does the Torah choose? Right? There's two frameworks. In my mind, I see two perfectly fine frameworks. Which one does the Torah choose? The second one is saying, the second Chakir, the Imtim Salomar, is saying, even if you choose one of them, right, the Kula Da'adi allows you to do it. But even if you choose one of them, how are you, in what sense are you choosing it? Are you choosing it because I basically have a tie and I have to choose one over the other? Or are you choosing it because that's really the better one? You know, I mean, he's asking a question. I have two possibilities. When a guy answers you, you can ask him, how are you answering me? Are you saying that's definitely the right one? Or are you saying, look, you're right, they're both legitimate. Insofar as it's a tie, will be machriya to be make on the deposit. Yeah, but then you're not going to reevaluate it. Or did you choose and tell me, no, Kula Ba'adei Adadi is the right framework, and that's better. And therefore, you'll reevaluate if you did the other way. So long as he hasn't paid, you'll reevaluate. That's what he's asking. He sees these two frameworks. Is one of them really better? Or no, they're both equal. You just machriya one way or the other, you know, based upon different principles. The question is, when I have these two, sometimes you choose one of two things when you're presented with two options, chocolate or vanilla. Okay? You're presented with two options and you just choose chocolate because you like chocolate more. That's one way. It's superior to you. The other way is I like them both, but I have to choose one. So why did I choose one today? I don't know. I choose chocolate today because I had vanilla yesterday. So you know what I mean? Like that's the question. Is when you have these two frameworks, are you just choosing one over the other because it's essentially it's a tie, but you have to choose one? happens to be the toe shoes, kulei kachas, because of other considerations, tiebreakers. Is he using tiebreakers to evaluate it? And it shows that in the tiebreaker that kulei b'hadda dadi won out? Or no, did it choose kulei b'hadda dadi because it's really superior and it's better? In which case, you'll choose it every time, you know? Or even when I've already evaluated it the other way, I'll reevaluate using the better framework. Or was it just a tiebreaker? But if it's a tiebreaker, then I'm not going to undo my evaluation that I've already been machriya the other way. You know, once I've been machriya the other way because it's been done, I'm not going to reevaluate it. It's just when there's a tie. But the fact that I've evaluated it separately, that breaks the tie intrinsically. It's just when they come before me, I haven't done anything, then the tiebreaker will be I value them all together. Right? Or is he saying in tins alone? Maybe you're actually saying that it's really better. Then reevaluate it. I'm just pointing out also that there's no tough. Definitely you're not going to say that it's a complete mistake. So if he paid, you don't have to give back the money. That's definitely Rava's saying. There's definitely a legitimate way to look at it that way. It just might be inferior, not viewing the context, but it's still a legitimate way. Okay, fine.